I'm supposed to continue my studies from when I came last time, but when I received a speaker's list from your elder, I found that for the month of July and September, you are doing a theme on the assisted God the Father. So I was thinking that I would just stop from my previous studies with you on my relationships with them that are within, and supposed to continue with my relationships with them that are without. So I shall postpone that topic to another time, because there are three reasons why I would like to change. Reason number one is to make what I'm just studying with you to be relevant to what you are studying in the coming months in July and September. August, you had an open month. Well, what would I be studying? I would be doing on the theme, the sevens in John's Gospel, or Jesus is God. Just as you will be doing a series on God the Father, His attributes, and the various character of Him, so I shall do with you the study, Jesus is God, from John's Gospel. And we look at it from the seven Jesus signs in John's Gospel. We shall look at it from the study of John's Gospel this week. And next week, we shall deal with the seven I Am's of Jesus in John's Gospel. So, this will be the subtopics of our main topic. Reason number one, to relate to what you are studying. Reason number two, because of this man here. Some of you have seen him appearing again and again in Facebook, and he has challenged Christians. Prove to me that Jesus is God. Prove to me from a text of scripture that this is the claim of Jesus. Prove to me that Jesus accepts worship. Well, I'm going to accept that challenge. It was said there was one girl, university girl, who was there and who asked him, "I was at your last talk. And I heard you say that I am a Christian more than a Christian. What do you mean by that?" And he answered, "I am a Christian more than a Christian because the scriptures say you must be circumcised. Jesus was circumcised. I am circumcised. Christians are not circumcised. The scriptures say you must not eat pork. Jesus does not eat pork. I do not eat pork. Christians eat pork. I am better than a Christian. I'm more a Christian than a Christian." And the girl, who did not seem to know very much about scriptures, no, a Christian is one who is baptized. And a Christian is one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me from the scriptures that a person who is baptized is a Christian. The girl could not answer. He said, "My church says." "Don't tell me my church says. Tell me what the scripture says. Show me from the scripture that you must be baptized." When we do not know our scriptures, do not accept challenges from these people, because they are well versed. But today I'm going to show that Jesus not only claimed to be God, but he would accept worship. And not only from one text of scripture, but we find that John also was out to do that. The third reason why I am doing this series, because over at Bermuda Gospel Hall, they are studying the book of John's Gospel, chapter by chapter. And I understand that even Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall is doing the same. And I shall be repeating this series in both these. I have restarted in Bermuda Hall, and I shall also start in Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall. Because what I fear is, when you do book study, chapter by chapter, and by different speakers, you may see the trees, but you do not see the forest. You see how beautiful the trees are, or how ugly the trees are, one by one, but you don't see the whole picture of the forest. And therefore, you fail to see the perspective of the whole book. So it is my duty in not encroaching into the people's areas who will be touching on the various chapters, I shall give you an overall view of the Gospel of John. And that is my third reason for doing these studies. That you too may go with me along a walk through the forest and hopefully above the forest and see the perspective of the forest. That you may not lose sight of the forest when you look at the trees. So this is my purpose of why I changed the subject that I was doing with you. That all of us will benefit from this tremendous study. Well, the seventh in John Gospel. Why seven? Seven is the number of perfection. Seven is the number of completion. And you'll find that seven occurs again and again in John's Gospel, as we shall see later on. But this for a fact, the number seven occurs at least 54 times in the book of Revelation. And Revelation was written by John. And after the series of studies on John's Gospel, I shall do the series on Revelation. Alright? So, part one, today, we shall do the seven signs of Jesus in John's Gospel. And then, well, as you can see the list there, the seven miracles. But there's a mistake somewhere. I'll tell you why later on. Then next week we shall deal with the seven I Am's of Jesus. That in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am, I am, I am," seven times. And John recorded that those statements seven times in his Gospel. Right. For example, he would say, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." He went on to say, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And third one, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Then I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Then I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the vine, you are the branches." And so we find seven times the Lord said, "I am, I am." What is the significance of that? We shall deal with next week. Right, now let's begin. The sevens in John's Gospel. Now, John specially selected seven disciples of Jesus and named them. The seven disciples were listed and named in John's Gospel. But he also named seven men. Or only seven men in his Gospel that he would like to focus our attention on. But he did not only mentioned the men, he also mentioned seven women. Now, right there were other seven things, seven people and so on, that he mentioned in John's Gospel. But we have no time to go through all of them. The next seven is very important. This is the seven witnesses. The seven witnesses. Now, who are these witnesses? And what do they witness to? They witness to the fact that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. So I'm not going not only to show in one text from Scripture that Jesus claimed to be God, but I can show from many, many Scriptures that Jesus indeed claimed to be God. So, for example, the first witness, God the Father. God the Father would witness and testify that Jesus is indeed God. And Jesus himself would not just say, "Oh, I am God," but he would have worthy witnesses to testify that he is indeed God. Not only God the Father, God the Son, he himself, and God the Holy Spirit would also testify that Jesus is God. And so you find these three reliable witnesses, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, testifying to the fact that Jesus is indeed the Son, the God. But not only that, John the Baptist would also testify. He was sent beforehand to testify to the people that Jesus is God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Who can take away the sin of the world except God? Who can forgive sins except God? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So cried John the Baptist. And so we find that John the Apostle, in his writing, in his gospel, and also in Revelation, again and again said, he is worthy. He alone is worthy. And he is worthy of worship. We shall find all this as we go on later. Then there are also the miracles. And this is what we are going to study this morning. The miracles point to the fact that Jesus must be God. Because if he were not God, he would not be able to perform these miracles. All these miracles. And John specially selected 7 unique miracles to point to the fact that Jesus was indeed God. And we shall discuss that in detail afterwards. There is also the scriptures, the Bible. Show me in one text that Jesus claimed to be God. The scriptures can show not only one text, but many texts that Jesus is indeed God. He said, that man that we were talking about said to the university girl, don't believe in the church. Don't believe what the church says. And he's right. Show me from the scriptures. We shall show him from the scriptures. That the scriptures indeed testify to the fact that Jesus is God. So, if you believe not that in Moses' writings in the scriptures, then of course you would not believe in him. Because even the writings of Moses would also point to the fact that Jesus is God. Okay, so with that introduction, let us go on. The 7 miracles, the 7 signs. Right, the first one, water was changed to wine. First miracle. Second miracle, a normal man believed and his son lived. Third miracle, a lame man was made whole and he walked. Fourth miracle, 5,000 men were fed. Fifth miracle, Jesus walked on the water. Sixth miracle, a man born blind was healed. Seventh miracle, raising of Lazarus from the grave. Now, 7, but actually, and that's what most Bible commentators would list out. They seem to forget there's one more. There's 8. There's an 8th one. What would that be? You will note the 5,000 men fed. I have written it in green to show that it's different. Because actually, John recorded only 7 unique miracles that he only recorded. Whereas the 5,000 fed was recorded by all the 4 evangelists. We shall come to that as we come to this miracle later on. Homework for next week. Find out what is the 8th miracle. And come and tell me. You can come tell me afterwards or next week. Because in Island Lake, for example, immediately after I finished, an elder and a deacon came to see me and said, this is the 8th miracle. And they were right. Alright, you think of the 8th miracle. What's the 8th miracle? Alright, let's start now. The 7 significant signs in John's Gospel. John specially selected the 7 miracles for a purpose, in order that he might prove that Jesus was indeed God. The text, the key that opens up John's Gospel is John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And this is what is written there. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book, But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Sorry. Everything has gone dark. Okay, I'm sorry about that technical error. Now, as I pointed out, the key to the understanding of John's Gospel is John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, that John especially, from among the many, many, many miracles of Jesus, selected seven unique ones to prove that Jesus was the Son of God. All right? Let me explain what he meant by the purpose of his recording the seven miracles. That you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, in case you misunderstand it. He is not trying to prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in that Jesus was a product of God. That Jesus was an offspring of God, the Father and God a mother, so-called. That's not true. He was trying to prove that Jesus was God the Son, as we have God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. That Jesus is God. So when we read the words that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, actually is you might believe that Jesus is God the Son. And to show us this, he gives us seven miracles to prove that. The specific purpose was to point to God the Son. And that when people come to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God the Son, they might believe, and when they believe, they would have eternal life. That will be the product of their believing in Christ, God the Son. Okay, with this as our understanding, let us now go on. First miracle, changing water into wine. Alright, and we are going to look at it under the two subheadings of John's theme. That you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. And the first part says, you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. And we are going to examine every miracle under these two headings. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Two, and that believing you might have eternal life. And you see in each miracle how these two purposes are fulfilled. Firstly, the first miracle. This was the beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Cana. It would be good if you look at it. In fact, it would be nice if you look at John's Gospel, because I will be referring to it many, many times. And it will be nice for you to really see the text in John's Gospel. The first miracle was the turning water into wine by the Lord Jesus Christ at the wedding in Cana. Now, please note John chapter 2, verse 11. This was the beginning. In other words, Jesus was coming out from his private life into public ministry. And he was going to verify and confirm that he was from God in public. And he did so with the miracle, the first miracle of turning water into wine. Before, he was up to now at this stage. He was in private, and we have very little of his private life at home in Nazareth. Very little, except for about two occasions when he was 12 years old and he got lost, and another occasion when his parents sought after him in the temple. But other than that, we hardly know about him. Luke chapter 2 verse 5 mentions the fact that he was a son of Mary. Luke chapter 2 verse 52 tells us that he grew in stature and in wisdom, and he grew in favor with God and man. And that's what we know about him in his private life. Now, it's different. He was going into public life. He was starting his public ministry. And we read, when Mary told him to change the water into wine, to help out in supplying the wine which was lacking at that wedding feast, he said, "Woman, it is not time yet." Now, he addressed his mother as woman. That would be very rude, wouldn't it? No, it was not. That word is a gentle word. But the point is, why did he address Mary, woman? By the way, he never addressed Mary as mother. He addressed Mary as woman. He did so when he began his public ministry. He did so again in John 19:26. At the end of his public ministry, when he was on the cross, and he pointed to John, "John, this is your mother," and he pointed to Mary, "Woman, this is your son. This is your son." He began with woman, he ended with woman in his public ministry, because the woman was only the tool that God used to send his son into the world. Because his son was not a product of the woman and a man. The woman was by herself a virgin, and Jesus was born. Woman. His mother then gave orders. Before that. Then in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. When he continued with his public ministry, he was found in a temple and parents were seeking after him. And the people said, "Your parents are seeking after you. Your sisters and your brothers are seeking after you." And what did he say? He said, "Know you not that I must be about my father's business?" Verse 49. "Know you not that I must be about my father's business?" He was now going into public ministry, into his father's business. Then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, another occasion when he was told that his parents and his relatives were seeking after him, he said, "Where is my mother? Look at these two, all of you. Those of you who do the will of God, they are my brother, my sister, and my mother." No mention of father, because father was in heaven. All these who are prepared to do the will of God are my mother, my brother, and my sister. And so the Lord Jesus Christ uniquely showed to us that he was indeed God the Son, although he is named Son of God. Right. So the mother realized that, and she said to the servants, "Obey him in whatever he tells you to do." John chapter 2 verse 5. So let's see the miracle. Why it proved that he was indeed the son, God the son. Firstly, the miracle was the opportunity to manifest his glory. It was at a marriage feast. What happened? The beginning of miracles fit Jesus in Cana and manifested his glory. Here was a man who was different. He was God. He manifested his glory. In what way? By performing the miracle. What happened? There were 6 water pots, and one water pot could contain 20 or 30 gallons of water. And he turned the 20 or 30 gallons of water into wine. Who could do that? Except God, who could do such a miracle. No man could do that. No man. Alright? No wonder the wine that was produced, that was changed from water, was not only mere wine, but it was so good that the master of the guests turned and said, Every man at the beginning takes out the good wine, and when the guest has well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. It was the best wine. And so only the God could do such a miracle. Then, second part of John's theme, believing you might have died through his name. That miracle achieved that? We read it resulted in strengthening the faith of his disciples. Thus, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The purpose was achieved. Second miracle, a nobleman believed and his son lived. John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. Here we see from Canaan, he went to Capernaum and he met a man whose son was about to die. And that man cried out to him, "Lord, please heal my son. My son is near unto death. Please heal him." John chapter 4, verse 47. And so he begged Jesus. And the people, we read in chapter 4, verse 48, in King James Version, "Unless you see signs," or "unless ye see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." In the modern translation, it is "unless you see signs." "You" there can be singular or plural in our modern grammar. And when we read "unless you," people may think that he was referring to the nobleman. No, and that's where the King James Version is better. The King James Version translated as "ye." "You" is always singular in King James Version. "Ye" is plural. And he was referring not to the man, but to the people around. Because the man believed. The other people did not believe. They could believe only the miracles. And they came only for the miracles. And Jesus scolded them. But for this man, he said, "Your son lives." And Jesus performed the miracle of healing. From afar, his son was at home. But from afar, he said, "Your son lived." Who could do this? Only God could do this. And so, later on, when the noble man went back home on his way, he was met by his servants. And what did the servants tell him? The servants told him, "So that the son has come alive, he was healed." And the father asked, "At what time did he come alive?" Then they told him, "At the seventh hour." The father then confirmed that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed in his whole house. And so the second purpose was again achieved. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come into Galilee. He was indeed the Son of God. Third, a lame man made whole and walked. There was a lame man waiting at the pool of Bethesda. For 38 years he was lying there, waiting for the angel to come down, and it was rumored that any time when the angel came down and stirred the water, the first to jump into the pool would be cured. And of course, being lame, he could never be the first to jump into the pool of water, and was waiting for 38 years. And here again, the impossibility of the infirm man to be cured by himself. If nobody helped him, he could never jump into the pool first. So he could never be cured. That's why he waited for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. Alright. Jesus healed him. Jesus, take up your bed and walk. And he did. But there was something else that created a problem. He healed the man on the Sabbath day. And that's where the Jews came round and pointed a finger at him. "You cannot work on the Sabbath day. You have sinned against the law." Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man who was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. So they accused him of breaking the Sabbath. Okay. Only the Lord, who is God, could do these things. One, only he could break his sickness of nearly 38 years. Only Jesus, as God, could heal the man. Only Jesus could break the keeping of the Sabbath. Because he is the God of the Sabbath. He was the God who created the Sabbath. So he had the power to break the Sabbath. And we read in Luke 6:5, the Son is Lord of the Sabbath. And only he said, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more. Who could ever say to a person, don't sin? Only God could forgive sins. And so we find this miracle again proved that Jesus was indeed God the Son. And what's the result? What's the result? Was that belief? Because John specially chose the miracle to show that in the performance of the miracle, it would result in people believing that Jesus is the Son and believing he might have life. And we read in chapter 5, verse 15, the Son of God identified but denied. The people who were looking at the whole miracle did not want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected him. And the Jews sought to slay him even, in chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the seventh day. But then they forgot the fact that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. The Jews, they denied the Lord Jesus and they lost the opportunity to be saved and therefore to have life. Sad. Right. Fourthly, the 5,000 who were fed. There were 5,000 men. I noticed 5,000 men besides women and children. There were 5,000 men and they were fed. This is the only miracle recorded by all the four evangelists. All the four evangelists. And it is therefore singular and single miracle that all the four recorded. Therefore, for me, I will not count this as unique among the seven of John's Gospel. John, therefore, could have written the eighth miracle. And this is your homework. Find out which is the eighth miracle. Seven were unique. Only he recorded the seven miracles. The others did not. Alright, let's see this common miracle. And a great multitude followed him, because he saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Right? They followed him. Now, what happened? The compassion on the curious crowd that followed Christ. 5,000 men, women and children followed the Lord Jesus Christ because of the miracles which they saw. And that created a problem. And the problem was, it was late in the evening. How could Jesus send them away? Because they would be very, very hungry. And the Lord Jesus then posed to them a question. How can we feed these 5,000? The Lord already knew the answer. He asked the question to test the disciples of the faith in him. And they said, we have only 200 denarii. How could we feed so many people? Alright? One denarius would be enough for a person's wage for one day. 200, nearly half. We need nearly half a year or more than half a year's wages to feed the 5,000 men. So, where can we find it? If we cannot. We have only here a boy who professed to have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How could they feed so many people? And so the Lord Jesus said, bring the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to me. And it so, and Jesus fed the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the 5,000 men and others in the multitude. That must be a work of the Lord, a miracle only that God would perform. Now today, the Lord also can do miracles with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All of us have got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We have got 5 fingers and 2 hands. We have got 5 toes and 2 feet. And so all these can be used for the Lord if we surrender them to the Lord. Alright, the result, did anybody believe? All these pointed to the proof that the person must be the promised prophet. We read chapter 6 verse 14. Those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, the prophet that should come into the world. And so this prophet was none other than God the Son. And you know what this man, this Indian evangelist, told us? He not only told us or challenged us that Jesus was not God, but there was a prophet to come after him. And that's why Jesus, when he was on earth, said, when I go away, I will send you a comforter. And that comforter, he said, was Muhammad. How could it be? When it says very clearly that these people were speaking to the Lord Jesus and they believed that he was the one who should come. And so we find the twist and turn of that man to all those who do not know the scriptures in a broader context. When he first said, for example, that Jesus kept, was circumcised, that Jesus did not eat pork. Jesus, when he was on earth, was trying to fulfill the law. But he came to redeem us from the law, so that the law does not have any more jurisdiction over us. So today, we do not have to be circumcised, we do not have to eat pork, because we have been redeemed from the law. But he was taking the text out of context to get at the Christians. And so we have to be careful when we interpret scriptures that we don't take the text out of context. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again. Who could do that? Could just disappear from a crowd of people coming to catch him. Alright, very quickly, Jesus walking on the water. And you know the story very well. Jesus came when the people went out fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Normally, the Sea of Galilee would be very calm, very calm. But that night, the sea was very stormy, and those who were fishing were afraid. And then Jesus came. Jesus came. He walking on the sea, and the people that in the boat cried out, "Oh, it must be a ghost! It must be a ghost!" And the Lord Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. It is I." Now, in your Bible, it is translated, "It is I." But those are not the words used in the original Greek. What the Lord actually said, "I am." Ego, I am. I am. He did not say it is I. He did not try to identify himself. He was claiming that he was I am. I am that I am. He was claiming to be God. And we shall talk more about that next week. He said, "I am." He was God. He did not say, "I am He." But he said, "I am." And so we see he proving himself again to be God. And we find after that performing another miracle. When Peter wanted to walk on the sea, he said, "Come." And Jesus did. Peter did walk on the sea. Until he was so afraid to look at the stormy waves that they were boisterous and sank. But at the beginning, he was walking on the sea. Believing, you might believe. Did people believe as a result of this miracle? When their fear was removed and the Son of God revealed, the disciples willingly received him as God the Son. Yeah, I am. We find in chapter 6 and verse 21. They were willing to take him on board, and at once the boat who was on the sea hand was at the shore. Immediately, there's a third miracle. And And so we find the Lord performing miracle after miracle to prove that He was indeed the Son of the God the Son. Last part one. The man born blind. The man born blind from birth. Alright. He was blind. He could not see. And the Lord spat on the water on the earth, took some clay and anointed his eyes and asked him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man did so. The man did so. But was the man blind because of any sin? No. He had been suffering all these years because God was going to manifest His glory before all. And so we find, until the Lord Jesus Christ came to heal him, so that they, the people, could see that Jesus was indeed God. That was the why he had been blind. And you know, there are many of us who we suffer a long time, perhaps, but God had a plan that we might be unto His glory. And so the miracle of Christ to heal that blind man brought glory unto God. Did they believe? Did any believe out of this miracle? They who rejected Jesus as the Son of God, they of course would be rejected by God, because many of them did not believe. But the Son, the blind man, did. He that received Jesus as the Son of God had his sins forgiven. John 9:35-38. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And please note what is written. And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. That Indian man challenged us that there is no record at all in Scripture to say that he would accept worship. And here is one text, among many others, that Jesus accepted worship. Last one, the raising of dead Lazarus. Lazarus was dead, again for the glory of God. The grand purpose of the miracle was that he, Jesus, might raise him from the dead and prove that Jesus was indeed God. For the great glory of God, he died. He actually died. Jesus said, "Lazarus is dead." Martha said, "My brother is dead." Mary also said, "My brother is dead." All witness to the death of Lazarus. And yet, we find that only the Son of God could perform the miracle when he raised him from the dead and he cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Lord said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am." Claiming to be I am that I am of God that could give life to those who come to him. Lazarus came to life and God was glorified and the Son's claim was justified. So, in conclusion, and we see this again, what was the result of that miracle? Some believed and had life. Not everyone would believe, just as our Indian friend never believed. So, they, of course, never see life. Many of the Jews who came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believe, and when they believe, they of course have life. Others who not believe, they do not have life, and therefore they would be left in the dead. Alright, Jesus therefore walked away quickly if he is rejected. Finally, the text that we have been thinking about. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. And John gave us 7 unique miracles. Six of them I mentioned. The 7 has yet to be mentioned, and I'll do so next week after you give me the answer to my challenge. Show me the 8th miracle of John's. John 11, 25, 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's a challenge. Matthew 16, 13 to 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some do say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. May we today be able to say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, we have finished part one, Jesus' seven signs. We shall go next week to the seven I ends of Jesus. Then, see you next week, God willing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is thy Son, and yet who is God the Son. Thank you, Lord, for this manifestation of his glory and thy glory. Help us, Lord, to give him all glory to you. We ask these things as we commit ourselves to thee for the rest of this day in Christ's precious name. Amen.